Bible, friends, is a book that speaks not just of your origins, how you came to be, and how the world came to be, but it's also a book that reveals to us the end of the story. And of course, it's of the utmost importance that we understand both the beginning and the end. And of course, well, the bit in between as to how you live and what you do with God's Son, Jesus Christ, determines how things will pan out for you in the end game. So the Bible, as I say to you, a message of redemption, salvation, how a person can learn to live rightly, righteously, that is, in this present age, in this time, ready not only to live, but ready also to die. But as we have seen in recent days, the brevity of life, the suddenness by which it can be taken away from us in circumstances so unexpected, surely has been highlighted for us in recent events. There is nothing more important than this, that a person be right with God, that is, with the true and living God. So the Bible is your book if you want to understand, if you want to grasp the reality of your personal situation, and of course, well, your lack of relationship with God, and of course how that can be rectified before it is too late. God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world that through him that the world might be saved. And in the Bible we are given a picture of God's Son. In fact, the whole Bible from beginning to end is about that one single person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world, and of course, what he would do and why he would do it. We have a picture given to us, a word picture given to us in the Old Testament of Jesus. And, I submit to you the most wonderful, the most beautiful, and most powerful figure in all the universe. When you're in trouble, you want somebody who can deliver the goods. You want somebody that's reliable. You want someone who can help in realistic terms. And I submit to you this afternoon that Jesus, he is that person, the all-powerful Son of God, who is reliable, trustworthy to the nth degree. He has been tried and tested down through the generations, last 2,000 years or more, men and women, boys and girls too even, have been putting their trust in Jesus and found him to be exactly what the Bible represents him to be. That is to be a savior, a deliverer, a refuge, a help in the time of trouble. And of course, well, the reality is we're all in trouble. You've only got to look at the world around you to see that. The death and carnage, the misery and unhappiness, Where does it all come from? People ask the question, where will it end? All the fighting and the wars? Well, of course it will end when man stops the war against God, because that's the ultimate fight, and that's the reason for all the bad stuff that you see in the world today. You see, it all comes out of the heart of man in rebellion against God. The sinful mind, the Bible says, is hostile to God. And because of that hostility, that warfare against God, rebellion against Him, well, you know, how can we possibly have peace in our world? How can we have peace in our society? How can we have peace in our own hearts and homes as long as we are hostile to and enmity against God? An impossibility. But Jesus came, you see, to bring an end of that warfare, that hostility, and to bring peace between ourselves and God. By the blood of His cross, the Bible tells us, He made peace. Now I know that there are a lot of people in this world today, and I dare say, even in North Staffordshire, many, many people who would love to have just a modicum of peace. I've had people speak to me and they've asked me that question, how, if only, they say, I could find just a little measure of peace. I have everything. I have a home bought and paid for. I have a family. I have a job. Everything going for me in the material realm, but no peace in my heart. You see, people, the things of this world, materials, money, jobs, human relationships, these cannot bring the peace of God that passes all understanding to the human heart. Only one person who can do that, and that's the Son of God, who died for ungodly sinners. You see, He doesn't want to take anything away from you except that which is harmful. On the contrary, I would say that He would give you more than He would take away from you. The blessings, I tell you, are without measure. Hope and joy and peace. All of these things, of course, that money can't buy. And all the alcohol, drugs in the world won't bring to you. Peace with God is the ultimate, to be able to lay your head down on the pillow of a night time and know that all is well between you and your Maker. Well, it's only Jesus who can bring that peace to you. It's only He who can reconcile you to God. But He loved you that much. You see, the Bible says that God, that's the Father, so loved the world that He sent His Son. But I can equally say that the Son, Jesus, so loved you that He came to live and die on a cross and rise again from the dead in order that you might know and have peace with God. Ah, but you say, this is an impossibility for me. You say, if you knew my circumstances, they are impossible. You say to me, my sins are so great and so many. I've been at it for years. There is no way possible that God could ever smile upon me, show me His favor and grace. Well, I would argue with you on that point. There is one author in the Bible who describes himself as the chief of sinners. Well, I don't know about that either, but I do know this, friends, that there is no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. While you have the breath of life in you, you have the opportunity, you have the chance to close with God, draw near to His Son, and receive Him, and in receiving Him, receive eternal life and everlasting peace. You see, people, the ultimate in human life is knowing Jesus. I tell you, there is nothing in all this world to surpass it. Whatever experiences you've had or been through, whatever delightful relationship you have on the human level, there is absolutely nothing to compare with knowing Jesus. I don't mean knowing about Him, I mean knowing Him experimentally. You might say to me that you know President Obama. Well, I would question that. Maybe you do, but I guess that what you probably mean is you know about him. You've seen him on the television or read something about him, but you don't actually know him. Now, you might have been to a Sunday school. You might have...
Very proud of you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Have a nice day. You might have heard about him at a church service. You may have read about him in the Bible, but that's not my question. My question is, do you know him personally and relationally? The Bible says eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Now, you see, this is a thing different, I say, to religion. The world is full of religion. You have your choice, you have your pick. Many cults, sects, religions, the world abounds with them. If you want to be religious, that's the easiest thing in the world to do. But having eternal life, knowing God and knowing Jesus whom he sent, that's a different matter altogether. And that's what the good news, that's what the gospel is about. You see, people, we're not talking about religion that's harmful, that's nasty, that's terrorizing, that kills people. No, we're talking about good news for bad people. You see, there's the qualification. You have to be a bad person in order to know Jesus. If you're a good person, if you don't need a Savior, you've never sinned or done anything wrong, well then you don't need this good news. In fact, it's not good news to you. It's only good news for those who are bad people and see themselves to be bad. Those who have looked into the mirror, you know, of them. Well, the mirror of self-love. You know, it tells you the same story every morning, but it's not the truth. It tells you what a wonderful person you are, what a cool dude you are, you know? But it's not the truth, because if you were to look into your heart, if you were to look into the mirror of God's Word, His law, those Ten Commandments, for example, if you were to look into that mirror, then you would see a reflection of your heart, and you would see what you're really, really like. You would see all the things there that you condemn other people for. You would see the uncleanness. Yes, you would see the hatred and murder. Why do people, you say, carry on hating one another and killing one another in the Middle East, when you're guilty yourself of the same hatred of your fellow man? You see, people, that same hatred lies and lurks in your heart just the same as anybody else's. So the answer, you see, people, is to look into the heart, your heart, and see what you are really, really like. I mean, you'll find that to be, believe me, quite scary. But the skeletons are there in just about everybody's cupboard. Just because you haven't murdered somebody, just because you haven't robbed the bank, doesn't mean to say that you're not a sinner. If you love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, every moment of your existence since you were born, you failed at just one point, that makes you a sinner, a breaker of God's commandment. You see, people, we've all sinned, as the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. And God has this indictment against you. You owe Him a debt of love. He who made you in love, to be loved and to love, you have not reciprocated that love to Him. And that makes you guilty, condemned before God. And so therefore you need a Savior. You need my Jesus, the one through whom you can be saved. The worst of you and the best of you can indeed be saved. Jesus says in the Bible, in the New Testament, if you can, all things are possible, even your salvation to the one who believes. But here's the question, what does Jesus mean by believing? He means this, people, believing that He, Jesus, and He alone can save you, can deliver you, can remove your guilt and bring peace with God. You see, people, only Jesus, He is the only Savior and the only Son of God able to save. You see, you live in a day and generation of the multicultural society in your land where you're indoctrinated not only with unbelief, indoctrinated with the myths and fairy tales of Darwin and Dawkins, but you're also indoctrinated with the foolish notion that it doesn't matter what religion a person believes in, for they all are equal and they all lead to the same God. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus Christ Himself. You see, people, it must be through Jesus Christ, or you cannot come to God. Only one way, no other name, the Bible says, under heaven whereby a person can be saved. Only the name of Jesus. But then it's believing too, of course, that He has the supreme ability to save you like nobody else can. Bible says that He is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. He has the ability. Why? Well, because of who and what He is. He is the Son of God, and God the Son. He's the creator of the universe in which you live. No, you're not the product of some explosion, some primordial sludge that they teach you in your biological classes. Such foolish nonsense. God tells us in His Word in the Bible, you have but to look at the universe that He has created, and it's as clear as a pikestaff, as you say, that he exists. Leaves you without any excuse at all. Even though you've been steeped in Darwin and Dawkins, you're still a fool, says God, if you say in your heart, there is no God. No, people, Jesus, the all-powerful one who created the universe, who made you even you, and you are accountable to him. Then, of course, were you to peruse the Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see the amazing, astonishing things that Jesus performed when he walked the face of this earth, giving eyesight to the blind, which no one ever did, his enemies said, but he did. Raising the dead to life, removing terrible terminal sicknesses. Jesus, the mighty healer and savior, if you can, he says, all things are possible to the one who believes in him, Jesus Christ, the creator of the ends of the earth. But then he would mean too, would he not, believing that he is willing to save you, that is? Well, you have plenty of evidence concerning that also in the Bible, of the people who came to him and found deliverance and salvation. People who were possessed by demons, involved in wickedness. One man who was a terrorist right to the very last, and he was being executed for his criminal damage. And Jesus assured him as he turned in repentance to Jesus at the last hour. He turned to Jesus and he was assured that that day he would be with Jesus in paradise. Willing to save, oh yes, more willing to save you than you are to be saved. Then, of course, the ultimate evidence, demonstration of his love, is the cross, where he died for sinners. Some have put it this way, that it wasn't the nails.
What?
Christian.
Do you want to... Evangelical.
Evangelical. Yeah. Do you know what that means?
No.
Well, I'm Bible believing.
Yeah, I don't believe the Bible.
Why are you drunk?
The Bible.
If you believe the Bible, why are you drunk? Your speech is slurred and you can hardly stand, so you're a drunkard. No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So you see, the willingness of Jesus to save is there demonstrated for you in the cross. Some have said it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for sinners such as you. You see, he flung his arms wide open willingly and endured that cross. Why? Not because he had done wrong, not because he was a sinner, but because you are, because I am, and in order that you and I might find peace with God, reconciliation. So don't doubt, please don't doubt his willingness to save, to deliver you. Oh yes. More willing, I say, to save you than you are to be saved. But of course, well, God has given you all the necessary help. You have the church that you can go to, a proper Bible-believing one. where the Bible is taught, and of course you can read the Bible for yourself, and you can see how the God tells us there we have this bias towards unbelief because we're born with a sinful nature. You see, but God would have you to look at the universe in which you live. And instead of listening to the counsel of unbelief that comes from unbelieving teachers, unbelieving authors and philosophers, to read God's Word, the dynamic, powerful Word of God that brought the universe into being. Because of all these things, the universe screams in your face, designer. Not even your scientists can make up their mind. One minute they're saying there is one, and the next minute their minds are changed. How can you possibly live? How can you possibly die on the basis of what these divvy, sinful philosophers and scientists tell you? They know nothing more than you know. They know nothing at all save what they ought to know. People, the Bible, the Word of God, let that be your counselor. Whoever you are, oh man, you are without excuse, God says, because of all the things that He has made. But then, of course, some people, they live with the rather foolish notion that there is some good in humanity, and that, well, you can do some good in order to make yourself right with God. Well, God's testimony and indictment is this, that there is none good as far as God is concerned, that is. So you see, people, we've got nothing that we can bring or offer to God. Nothing that you can call your own, except that is your sins. Them and them alone you can bring. Bring them to the cross, the place of forgiveness, of reconciliation, and lay them there at the foot of the cross, asking Jesus to forgive you, and believing that He and He alone can justify you and make you right with God, because no other can. So you see, people, it's time, high time. The trouble we're in, I say to you, the world we live in today, it would seem to me it would take just one spark from hell and the whole world would be ablaze with war once again. Very dangerous times to be living in, and times, I declare to you, in which you should be right with God, or at least seeking to be right with God. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. I tell you, there is no greater hope, no greater love than in the gospel. Jesus is the ultimate. Knowing Him is the place of safety. And of course, the Bible says that once you are in relationship with Jesus through faith in His name, well, the Bible says this. Let me read it to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Eternal life, eternal love, everlasting life, and everlasting love. people in distress need somebody that they can depend upon to produce the goods, and one upon whom they can trust to the limit. Well, I subscribe to you this afternoon that Jesus is that person, and that the ultimate is knowing him, and you can know him even this afternoon. The things that I have spoken to you, you can read for yourself, and you can examine the evidence here in God's Word, yours to read, to do with as you will. But God's Word, powerful and able, as I say, to make you wise for salvation, not religion, but salvation. Redemption, the redemptive love of God in Jesus Christ. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word to take home with you? That is offered to you, as I say, free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. You can take God's Word home with you, but of course you could go one better in the quiet recesses of your own heart, regardless of the mockers and sneerers around you. You could ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Receive Him, ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to deliver you from your sin and its guilt, and to give you that eternal life and love. Lord Jesus, you could put it this way: I admit, acknowledge that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to suffer the punishment that I deserve for my sins. Please help me every day to turn from my sin and live a life that pleases you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life and for the hope that I now have in you. The Lord Jesus Christ, I thoroughly commend Him to you, a wonderful, wonderful Savior who will never disappoint you. You will never be brought to shame, the Bible says. Jesus, the Son of God, believe on Him, God says, and promises, and you shall be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, take home with you? Well, it's offered to you. Come and take one. Lord bless you and have mercy upon your souls.